Hey, Chubbers, welcome back to another episode of Shadow Running on Empty, the place where you come to get your sixth world lore. We are doing something a little bit different this evening. We'll get to that in a second. I'm jumping ahead. Sorry. So easy mode, once again, your host, your lore connoisseur, bringing you that six world goodness. Joining me this evening, my intrepid co-host, Austin. Austin, how are you this evening?
Doing good. Excited for what we got to talk about today. I think it'll be a fun one.
Well, it should be, since not only are we doing this running on empty, but it is one of our special Shadow Running on Empty, Shadow Run in Real Life, SORESRIRL, right? Is that, I got it? I think I got it.
Nailed it in one.
Nailed it in one. That's how we like to do it here. And bringing us this delicious, juicy IRL goodness is our special guest this evening, Dr. Friendship. Dr. Friendship, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you guys for having me on to talk about some awesome technology that's coming out pretty soon here.
We like awesome technology that's coming out pretty soon.
It's so awesome. You guys are going to love it.
Well, let us know what it's all about.
Okay. Today we're talking about Neuralink. Basically, if you guys have been following tech news, your boy Elon Musk has gone ahead and done some human trials. He got FDA approval to do human trials for a brain chip. Sounds awesome. You guys are going to go out and get it right now, aren't you?
I can't wait to get my brain chip today.
Oh, that's too bad you can't.
Oh.
Unless you are paralyzed.
Oh.
Yeah, unfortunately, right now it's only available for people that have some kind of nerve damage, paralysis, some sort of injury. Because currently the applications are purely medical in nature. So I figured I'd start out, I'd tell you a little bit about the company, a little bit of history behind it, where the whole brain chip thing is going here, and then we can talk about how awesome it's going to be. Sound good?
I am prepared. My brain is ready.
Easy, this isn't the first time that we've had an opportunity to cause you grave bodily harm in the name of advancing this the plot for this show, so don't act like you wouldn't be down for it.
Taking two for the team, as in both legs, goodbye?
Yep.
Does that qualify me then?
That's the next step.
Hey, listen, I can arrange for you to get hit at about 25 to 30 miles an hour by a 16-ton vehicle early in the morning while it's still dark right outside of your home.
Wow, guys, this is all shaping up great. I'm glad you're here for me.
No downside, no notes.
I'm just saying, you say the word, we'll make it work. He's going to be out there jogging in all black.
I swear, they couldn't see where I was going at all. But let's hear about this company and how they're not nefarious at all.
Well, they're not nefarious. It's Elon Musk. Everybody trusts Elon Musk, right? I mean, the guy's totally not a real-life James Bond villain or anything.
All he needs is a cat.
Oh, my God. Well, he should have brought a cat on Rogan or something. That would have been hilarious. All right. Anyway, let's talk about Neuralink. Neuralink, I'm reading off the wiki right now. So you guys are at home and you want to read along, pull up the Wikipedia Neuralink page. You can read with me. So Neuralink was founded in 2016 by Elon Musk and seven scientists and engineers. So basically, he hired a bunch of people that were experts in like neuroscience, biochem, robotics, those kind of like, fields, which makes sense because that's exactly what you're working with when you try to chip somebody's brain. So they announced that they were going to make devices to treat serious brain diseases back in 2017. That's when they like announced what their plan was, with the eventual goal of human enhancement, sometimes called transhumanism. We'll get to that later. So like it's already going real well, you guys. So essentially, like he came up with this idea to interface a computer and the human brain. in order to achieve a long-term goal of symbiosis with artificial intelligence. Those are his words. And he perceives AI essentially as an existential threat to humanity. So a lot of people are like complaining about AI right now and, you know, how it's like unethical and things like that. Well, Musk has a little bit of a tinfoil hat when it comes down to it, because he's looking at this whole thing like it's Skynet. So in order to fight the evil AI overlords, we're all going to have to chip our brains, is essentially what he's saying here. So that is...
I can't even try to understand how that concept makes sense to him in the first place.
Yeah.
The way that we're going to combat the AI is to put technology directly into our brain. Like,
I don't know. I mean, I kind of understand it. It's like some very sci-fi sort of like conceptual stuff. I'm a little bit of a paranoid person, you know, when it comes to like conspiracy theories. I do have a tinfoil hat and I do wear it sometimes. I don't know if it's this particular issue is maybe as crazy or wild as, you know, he believes it is. I could see it potentially being like that. Maybe not. But I think like, have you ever read Dune or seen the movies? Okay. Mm-hmm. So you know what like the Mentats are, like the human computers, basically.
Yes.
I think that's essentially like what he's trying to go for eventually. So some kind of like human equivalent that can keep up with an artificial intelligence, but still retain like the creativity and flexibility of a human mind. I kind of understand where he's coming from, I guess. I don't necessarily agree with it. I think he's a little bit way out there, and I really don't agree with this piece of technology, but we'll talk more about why I don't agree with it later. However, I can kind of get where he's coming from, at least. It's pretty out there, though. It's a pretty wild a wild goal to have for a very, very crazy reason. That's essentially the history, though, behind why Musk founded Neuralink and what their goal is. So recently, it was like, I think this year, they actually did like the first human trials with this. Have you guys seen the news story about the paralyzed guy that was playing chess with his mind on the computer?
Yeah, I've seen that.
Okay, like a lot of people have seen that. So that's one of the reasons why we're talking about this. Somehow this guy got FDA approval to chip somebody's brain. And this 29-year-old guy who was basically paralyzed from like the chest down, wasn't able to do anything. He had to use like a blow straw to like get around in his chair and stuff like that. He was actually able to play chess on his computer using the Neuralink interface. So he could move the cursor, he could click on stuff. If you guys want to go watch like the video, there's a bunch of videos floating around on the internet. All you have to do is like, you know, search YouTube for Musk Neuralink patient trials or something.
And I thought he said that he spent all night playing Civilization.
That's one of the things he wants to do.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he wasn't able to. This guy's name is Nolan Arbaugh, by the way. He's 29 years old, and he loves Civ 6. Hasn't been able to play it for a long time, but now apparently he can, or is working up to that point. So it's not like you get this chip and immediately you're, you know, just a machine or anything like that. It actually takes time to, you know, build the neural pathways and like practice, essentially. Like I said, that it wasn't like something he got right away, but that like as he would do it more, it was just like anything else. Like, you know, you start practicing riding your bike and eventually you take the training wheels off and then.
Yeah, it's like any other prosthesis.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But he said the surgery was super easy. And the video got streamed on X or Twitter or whatever you want to call it these days.
The cesspool?
Yes, it's pretty bad. Well, it's social media. What do you expect, you know? That's why we're so quiet over there. I mean, we have a Twitter. Critical Hits does have a Twitter. You might catch an update from us one day, every now and again, when we drop a new episode or something. That's about it. There's a reason for that. But basically, like, this guy had this surgery. He said it was really easy. They released him from the hospital the next day. He doesn't have any cognitive problems at all with this chip. He says it's working just fine. So basically, The way that this thing is built, it's a chip about the size of like a thick quarter. And it still sits outside of the skull. It doesn't like actually go in your head. Like the chip part doesn't actually go in your head yet. And essentially it will interface with your brain via a series of probes called composed of this stuff called polyamide. I don't even know what that is, but apparently it's biocompatible. And then it has a very thin like gold or platinum conductor in it. And they have to do this by robot because I guess no human hand can do it or something like that. So they're already using AI to do this. I don't know how that's supposed to work, but okay. So they're using some kind of like program or artificial intelligence or something to chip people's brains. All right. Once the electrodes and stuff are in place, and there's a bunch of them too. It's like a couple hundred or something, I think. And they're just like these little thin like tendrils that they send down in there. Once they finish this up, these like little electrodes, they interact with the neurons in your system, and it allows amplification and acquisition of the actual brain signal. So when you tell your body to do something, it recognizes that, it picks it up and then like translate it as to, you know, what your brain is trying to do. And then that signal can then be sent to an external device like a computer, probably a smartphone pretty soon. You'll probably be able to like get chipped and then like, you know, interact with like your phone or something without having to touch it. And I'm assuming that in the future, the goal is to have things like wheelchairs, prosthetics, and then eventually even like vehicles, like cars and planes and, you know, boats and stuff like that. Your pilot on your plane one day might not even like touch any of the controls and just do it all with their mind. So I don't know how you guys feel about like a plane piloted by some dude with a brain chip.
I'm so excited for my Cybertruck.
Are you getting one?
No.
Not gonna lie, I kind of want one. They look rad, dude. I mean,
nah, I'm good.
I don't want the battery in my house. I've seen what a lithium fire can do, man. I've seen what a lithium fire can do. I don't want that underneath my bedroom. Basically, like, this is not the first time that this type of surgery has been done. This is the first time we've had a philanthropist building one. But back in 2023, there was actually a Swiss guy who, I guess he was in like a bike accident. Like he slipped on some ice on his bike or something and got paralyzed. Dude was like 46 at the time. And for like the last 10 years, he's been like trying to learn how to walk again and hasn't been able to. But they actually managed to bridge the gap over his injury using one chip in his head and one chip like kind of like on his, I guess on his spine near his waist. And pretty much what this does is the chip in his brain reads the guy's thoughts and wirelessly will send the signal down to the other chip, which then translates that into like electronic pulses that the body uses in order to tell his legs to move. Now he's not walking really well, but he is walking. So again, it's probably one of those things where like it's going to take a bunch of years for him to get better at it. He might not, but he can walk very poorly now. But that's a lot better than before where he wasn't able to walk at all. So this isn't the first time that, you know, something like this has been done. But again, it's the first time that we've had, you know, somebody like Elon Musk at the helm. Right now, it's only being promoted and tested for medical purposes. There's no, you know, consumer, you know, market yet. That's not the real purpose behind it, though. Like I said earlier, Musk stated that his true goal for Neuralink is to keep humanity able to compete with AI and kind of create a situation where, you know, natural human beings, well, sort of natural human beings, are going to be able to keep up with, you know, the exponential growth of artificial intelligence. It's not a very sexy idea or really even marketable. I mean, like, if you think about it, the concept that human beings are going to need themselves to get implanted with some crazy billionaire's brain chip in order to battle AI over the fate of the world sounds pretty fucking ridiculous. I mean, you guys have any thoughts on like that? Are you going to go out and like rush to get the brain chip?
That depends on what my AI overlord lets me do.
What about you, Austin? Are you going to jump at the chance to get chipped?
Hell no. Absolutely not. It's me and Easy have talked about this when we did our discussions about the process of cyber augmentation as well, and it's like, no. First off, this type of technology is something that will maybe have widespread and genuine market appeal like 60 years from now. This isn't like Neuralink's not going to launch within the next 5 years as a consumer grade product. There's no way. Because we still need to see what the long-term effects are to the first person that has gotten the implant. So, like, we're talking way down the line, and by the time that actually comes around, I'm good. I don't need that in my life.
I mean,
that's fine.
I see the benefit for people that are like stuck in beds or wheelchairs, and it potentially gives them the hope of being able to like be functional and walk around like they remember doing. But like you said, that's years down the line.
From a medical standpoint, 100% support the potential for what this could open up and allow people to redo. From a consumerist standpoint, just to have it?
No.
No, absolutely not. No. That's crazy.
All right, well.
Think of how expensive it would be, too.
We're actually going to get into the cost in a minute because
there's, oh my God.
I have a point. I don't even know what it costs right now. In fact, I don't even think it costs anything because right now it's still in, you know, like
experimental trials.
Yeah. So like you just sign up for it and then they do it to you. I think that's like the cost is all like on the researchers and the development, you know, budget or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But like you said, Austin, you were talking about, it's probably not gonna, like, I guess, have any real consumer, you know, pull for like 60 years. I don't think it's gonna take that long. And the reason I don't think it's gonna take that long is because they really only need to solve one problem that they have right now. So right now, it's basically data out, and that's the hurdle that they have. They can read the signals from the brain and then take those signals and send that to another part of the body or to another, like an external device, but they don't have any data in. That, I think, is where it's going to jump from being something that's strictly like a medical use case to becoming a consumer product. Once you can figure out how to get data in, then you'll have a whole bunch of different reasons for big companies and stuff to pursue this technology in order to promote their products, for example. That's not dystopian at all. So you can bet that the ultimate goal of, you know, Musk and other people that are, you know, pursuing these kind of like technologies. I mean, you look at like the metaverse and Zuckerberg, you know, the Apple Vision Pro and all those different types of devices that are still external devices, but are essentially trying to get the content, the ads, all those things closer to like your core being, I suppose. I mean, when you have it like in your face and it's literal virtual reality, you know, that's as close as you can get without, you know, it being in your body. Their goal is to do that. I can guarantee you they want this thing to become as common as your smartphone. And whether they want to admit it publicly or not, I can almost guarantee you that's the ultimate goal, and this stuff is being discussed in board meetings. I can promise you that. You said it yourself. There's no need right now for Neuralink or any other pieces of tech like it on an actual consumer level at this moment. And that's, again, because it only reads outputs from the chip user. But once they solve that problem, it opens up the entire field to all sorts of stuff. So, I mean, you can imagine if you can get data in, you can almost see something like Trinity from the Matrix downloading, you know, the pilot helicopter skill on the fly and, you know, being able to just do the thing. And it sounds like super cool, yeah?
Good data in, bad data out.
Well, you would hope that's the way it works, but I have real doubts behind that. In fact, I would say that being able to data in has some real serious dark sides to it.
What? There's nothing sinister about corporation. Corporation is good. Corporation gives you the food and the place and the things and the distractions.
Well, yes, they do that. They also do a bunch of other stuff. So can you guys guess where I'm going with this? Got any thoughts about how this could potentially be bad?
About how having a inward data receiving brain chip implanted directly into your nervous system could go bad? Nah, man. There's no downside to that. Okay. That's crazy talk. It's right. Only upsides here.
Well, that's the episode, everybody. Like,
I mean, you see it in Shadowrun right now with the personality chips. You know, you just get overwritten immediately.
Yeah, I think that's like the extreme, like worst case scenario.
That's the most frightening.
It certainly is. I mean, I can't think of anything more horrible than like you just being a passenger in your own body.
I mean, you could get a complete total recall situation going on.
No, I definitely think that more horrible than that is having ads beam directly into your central nervous system that you have no way of escaping from. That's a nightmare.
Oh God, all ads all the time.
That was my first point is you can think about how bad, you know, a platform like YouTube is and how like invasive those are. You're like watching a piece of content or listening to it and you set your phone down for a second to go like, you know, check on dinner or something and suddenly ad. Well, imagine that, like, but directly into your brain. So who knows what that looks like? Does it pop up in your field of vision? Is it something you hear?
I would imagine it's like a jingle. Like you just hear it over and over and over.
I would imagine that it would have to be audio only, because if it was visual inclined as well, like that's lawsuits, dude.
How about
that's
this?
Like, that's like you're driving down the freeway at 65 and suddenly your fucking field of vision is taken up by a Burger King ad, you know?
Burger King, next exit.
Yeah, right?
How about this? Let's take it another step further and get even more insidious with it. Instead of like a catchy ad or something that pops up as you're driving past Burger King, you're on the freeway. Burger King is, you know, a quarter mile away off the next exit. And suddenly you're smelling French fries and a delicious burger.
Oh, you mean with like taste and sense and everything?
Your body is telling you that you're smelling this, even though you're not. Or you just have a craving for Chick-fil-A or whatever it is coming up on the next exit. I don't think that the ads even need to be ads as we know them.
No, it'd be completely different. I think it'd be more like what you're hinting at here, where it plays on your senses, and that way it's more subliminal than actual like live advertisement.
Yeah, I think that that's what the future of advertising looks like with something like this, is you just get a suggestion that, man, I really want this right now. Could you imagine what walking through a grocery store with one of these on is going to be like?
I prefer, if we're going to go that route, just be super liminal. You know, if you're going to try to sell me on something, just own it.
Ideally, yeah. Ideally, that's the way it would be. But, you know, I mean, given the direction that, you know, some of these companies have gone in terms of getting data in order to, you know, I guess personalize ads directly to you. You know, I mean, how many people out there that are listening right now have had a conversation with somebody else and then all of a sudden their Facebook feed or, you know, whatever is just full of ads about the thing that they were talking about? Like, I know I've had that and I don't even use Facebook. But like my wife does, and she'll get on and it's like all of a sudden her her thing is like just full of whatever we were having a conversation about. It's not even something she has an interest in. But she'll get ads for it because we were talking about it. So if you can imagine, that's the way that they're doing this stuff. You've got to be willing to think that they would go to the next step and just suggest that you want this thing. If they have the ability to do that, you know they're going to do that. So that's where I think that the advertisement situation is going, which is like pretty damn nefarious. I don't want people like causing me to like have cravings or these almost like hypnotic type suggestions sent directly into my brain. And I think it's like natural. That sounds terrible. The other thing too, is we were just talking about data collection. So, you know, anytime that a service is free, then you are the product. I mean, everybody's heard that saying before. So all of your social media platforms and, you know, other free services that you're not paying for, and even a lot of the ones that you are paying for, they will sell your data. And that is going to be even bigger when it comes to this type of technology, because it's in your brain and doesn't require some kind of output from you other than a thought. Your actual innermost thoughts will be able to be collected and sent off directly to advertisers, or even worse, imagine you live in a place that has, you know, some kind of like dictatorship situation going on. Think about that for a second. Can you imagine the implications of some kind of, you know, dictatorial, heavy-handed government who's actually able to monitor the thoughts of its citizens?
Dude, you don't even have to go to that extreme of a scenario, dude. Imagine China with Neuralink.
Well, that's exactly what I'm talking about.
The Ministry of Truth would like to state that it doesn't read the thoughts of its civilians.
100%. So
remember, innocent people have nothing to hide.
Yes, exactly. What are you worried about?
Why are you hiding, bro? Like, why were you thinking that? I think we need to get you some re-education. Send him off. So, like,
real quick, also back to the way advertising could potentially look through that too, is the biggest place that you'd be hit is your dreams.
Yeah, sleepvertising.
Yep, sleepvertising.
I never even thought about that.
Think
that
about
terrible.
It. Yeah. You have no control over the subconscious. You're having a dream. All of a sudden, you've got an ad for Burger King just dancing right through your mind.
Tonight's dream is brought to you by HelloFresh. You know, this coupon code at checkout to save 20%.
Tonight's dream is brought to you by Raid Shadow Legends.
Raid Shadow Legends. Yes, dude. Give me my Raid Shadow Legends dream. I will gladly live in that reality.
We're entering the arena this episode.
Oh my god.
You wake up and you just immediately got to use your lawnmower 5.0 right before you get into the shower. Or you could just use it in the shower because it's waterproof. Wait, how did I know that?
Exactly.
Have one of those.
Imagine that you're having a raid dream and then you run out of energy. And so your dream's like, hey, do you want to pay $5 to refill your stamina system? Or do you just want to wait 30 minutes to refill so we could do the next mission? Because we're just going to sit here on this menu in your dream for 30 minutes if you just want to wait.
Oh, my God.
I feel like you'd see a spike in insomnia.
Either that or insanity. I imagine like messing with people's sleep cycle would have some really, really bad health effects.
Yeah, there's no way that would actually like be able to be done like that. No, there's no way.
No.
I think they would try, though. You know they would try.
It's like from Ready Player One movie adaptation they did. We can sell 80% of the visual space before causing seizures.
Basically, yeah. That's essentially where we're getting with this.
How long can you interrupt somebody's REM cycle before it causes brain damage? That's the real question. Come on, scientists.
We're not trying to create psychos here, but man, we really want to know.
But a microtransaction is a microtransaction, so.
Well, I imagine that they're going to figure that out real quick. I mean, I don't think it'll take very long once greater industry gets its clutches on this thing. But yeah, back to your data, your thoughts. You can imagine how bad it's going to be if your inner dialogue is able to be monetized by somebody other than you. Just think about that for a second. Like, all the things that you like keep private, all the things that you like don't tell anybody, you know, all that stuff gets collected, collated, organized, and shipped off to something pretty terrible, whether it's a corporation or some kind of government watchdog agency, you know. And in places that are not as free as the United States, I mean, 70% of the world is like run by dictatorships, like as of 2023, I think. So you can just imagine, like, you don't like your job at the salt mines? Oh, well, I guess we're going to send you off to the rock breaking quarry or something. You know, let's make it even worse. So you're not even going to be able to think about, you know, how you don't like something or, you know, something along those lines. It's not like a thought isn't even going to be a kind of thing that you're going to be able to have. It's not going to be private anymore. And that to me right there seems like almost the most nefarious part of this whole thing. You can imagine how bad it is with like your online data right now and people getting their identity stolen and, you know, things like that. Imagine that, but like, you know, ramped up to 11, because it's not just your data, it's like everything that you're thinking. So you think like you know, getting monitored and stuff right now is bad. Well, it gets even worse, kids. You probably don't want this.
But hey, I'll be able to keep up with the AIs that will be competing for my job.
Or trying to enslave or kill humanity. That's the goal. That's the goal, is to fight off the evil AIs.
Whoa. No one said anything about enslaving humanity or killing off humanity. We're just going to have a very competitive job market.
So that's all Skynet's going to do. They're just going to come after your jobs.
Yes.
They're going to crush humanity by outperforming them in the workplace.
Yes, Skynet. Skynet, it took our jobs.
Well, yeah, like that one's pretty bad. The whole direct monitoring seems pretty bad. I mean, it does seem like there's going to be some kind of upsides. Like, if you think about it right now, you know, you have a disconnect. Hang on, let me go back. Let me run back. We've gone in my lifetime from, if you wanted to contact somebody and you weren't like talking to them directly, they had to be home and they had to hear the telephone. Then they had to go pick it up and they were connected by like a wire, essentially. That was like the best that communication got when I was a kid. We've gone from that to being able to watch a video with another person on it in real time across the other side of the planet for free. I remember the days of long distance. You remember that? Did you have long distance when you were a kid, Austin?
Yeah.
Okay. So like,
remember to always call collect when making a call.
What was that jingle? 1-800-COLLECT.
I think that was it. If it's not, then somebody send that to us. I remember.
And you know
that,
what? Though. That just shows the power of fucking advertising.
Yeah. Now imagine you had that pumped into your brain and you couldn't get rid of it because it was being directly sent into your brain. That jingle on a loop in your mind at all times.
I think I'd just make more collect calls. Think of all the money that I was just losing.
Saving so much money.
Yeah, the savings.
Well, communication is going to get crazy once this becomes kind of like the standard for, you know, your your ability to communicate is going to go from, you know, having to pick up your cell phone to you're pretty much just going to be able to express your thoughts to other people and then get their reply back in like milliseconds. Once the thing really gets rolling, I mean, it's going to have its own processing power and you're going to be able to communicate so much faster than we have been before. It's people that grow up with this and that it's standard are not going to like understand what it was like before. It's like our generation grew up without the internet. Kids that grow up now with the internet don't like can't even like fathom a world that doesn't have that. Well, that's the way it's going to be when this gets out into the world, because you're going to be able to just contact whoever and just bang, 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 and have a whole conversation in seconds. The only problem with that is if you think about what communication is like right now, how many of you guys have gotten spam calls? Am I the only person that gets spam calls?
I get them occasionally.
Well, usually we talk about different delicious lunch meats, but spam specifically.
Hey, spam musubi is pretty awesome. It's like one of my favorite comfort foods. Okay. Shout out to all my Hawaiian bros.
You canned meat.
Hey man, I don't usually like spam, but when I do, I like it in musubi. Okay.
Okay.
All right. This stuff is good, dude.
Maybe they can just check my Neuralink to verify my car's warranty has not expired before trying to contact me about it in the first place. So, you know, maybe the positives outweigh the negatives.
The one positive so far.
The one positive so far.
Well, it's a possibility.
Gotta be one.
It's likely.
Jeez.
What are you going to say, Easy?
I was going to say there's actually a book that I read that kind of deals with this idea of neural communication, right?
What book is that?
It's called Old Man's War.
Okay.
It's a great sci-fi story. If you've never read it, highly recommend. It basically delves into not only like the possibility of, you know, aliens and what that's like and everything, but how humanity is woefully unprepared for space travel and all this stuff, and so they have to be augmented to be able to handle it and participate. So
yeah, it sounds like this. It also does not sound at all like what I went to when you said the title Old Man's War. I immediately just went to like Gran Torino.
No, that's I mean, yes and no. I don't want to ruin it for people that haven't read it. Basically it deals with the things that I was talking about and the idea of being able to communicate neurally through an implant, but also it's called Old Man's War because only the elderly are fighting these wars on other planets in space.
Interesting.
Yeah, there's a whole reason for it. I won't ruin it for anybody that wants to give it a read. I highly recommend it if you have not read it. It is a very good read.
It's called Old Man's War. Do you know if they have an audiobook version of that?
I believe there is.
So how much do you guys want to bet that tomorrow morning when I open up Audible, it's suggesting this book to me?
Probably. Yeah, it definitely has an Audible, because I see it right here.
Okay.
So I wouldn't be surprised if it's advertised to you tomorrow.
Yeah, I bet you Daddy Bezos is listening right now. And he's going to send that to me and suggest I use that.
You're going to use that credit anyway. Might as well use it to listen to a good book that's recommended.
Mm, yeah, there you go.
Might as well. Might as well.
Hey, Chummers, just taking a quick moment to say if you are enjoying what you hear, consider coming over to our Discord, where you can hang out with us and other like-minded Shadowrun enthusiasts. The link is in the description. While you're at it, check out our Patreon over at patreon.com/critical_hits. You get early access to episodes of Sinless. You get to vote on upcoming art that you want to see in the shows, and you also get full access to Worm Talks, just to name a few things. It's only $5, and that gets you in and helps us keep the lights on and making the content that you enjoy. And now back to the show.
So yeah, communication is going to get crazy. It's going to be pretty wild. There's a lot of different applications for that. One of the real downsides, though, is you think about the people that are going to be just inundated with sophisticated scams and things like that, and it's all going to be like directly into your brain. It's already a problem right now, and I can only imagine how much worse it's going to get. I mean, if there's one thing I figured out about human beings, is we can figure some shit out. And if you're desperate enough, like you're living in a place that doesn't have a lot of money, you're going to figure out how to exploit a hole in the system. And all it's going to take is for somebody to find that hole and figure out how to use it for their own benefit. And they will be trying to take advantage of unsuspecting people. Only this time it's going to be inside your mind, which sounds even more horrible than, you know, just getting one of those stupid calls. I mean, right now I mess with them, but I imagine if they were in my head, oh my God, it would be infuriating. So we got another problem, and that is an extreme exacerbation of internet addiction, which we're seeing right now. You can look around and there are, I mean, I have a kid who's like 19 and he's terminally online unless he's doing school, basically, which half of that's online now too. There's a lot of people that are stuck in like online life. We were talking about, you know, Ready Player One earlier. We're getting close to that. I mean, we're not there yet, but things are getting close to that, where there are people that they never really do anything, you know, social wise or anything like that, unless it's online. And you can imagine how worse that's going to get, how much worse, I should say, that's going to get if the internet is just piped into your brain. I mean, you want to watch a video? Cool. All you have to do is think about it. You want to play a game? Well, you're just doing it with your brain. It's just there. It's happening for you right in your mindscape, as opposed to, you know, having to log onto the computer and, you know, open it up and then run the application. You're not going to have to do any of that. All that stuff is going to be just readily available for you right there. I mean, look at like some of the VR stuff that's going on. Well, I mean, like laser tag and zombie shooting games, that all happens in your house now. Your kids are just going to be running around the house, pointing their fingers like bang, bang, bang. Except instead of their imaginations, it's an actual game, which probably has ads. So that, I think, is going to be another huge problem.
I mean, if I never have to leave my house to play laser tag again, you're selling me on this again. I think I'm back on board.
That's exactly my point. That's exactly my point. Austin doesn't even need to leave now. Why would you leave? When you can just stay home, and then when you get the that craving for Burger King or whatever, you just, you know, Uber Eats that bad boy right to you. It'll be dropped off by drone. And then, you know, 5 minutes later, you're eating when you're taking a break from slaying zombies in your house.
This sounds great.
Zero human interaction? What? An introvert's dream.
Basically. But there's going to be no more, I guess, like onus to actually go out and do something. Right now, you know, there's some real, I guess, needs to go outside every once in a while. And there won't be that anymore, regardless of whether or not we have like an actual biological need for things like sunlight, for example, or fresh air. It's not going to matter, because you're going to have everything your brain thinks it needs right there. The proliferation of readily accessible entertainment and fast calories are going to make a lot of the problems that we have already, you know, health-wise, at least in this country anyway, a lot worse. I can't imagine that there's going to be any real safeguards on stuff like that, because I don't think that anybody's thinking about these sorts of things, except for maybe us. You know, certainly the people that, you know, the Metas and, you know, the Neuralinks and all the other like companies that are pursuing technology like this for this reason, they're thinking about it, but not for the same reason we are. They want to exploit that phenomenon, not stop it. They want to figure out how to use it to, you know, to make more money and create good little consumers out of all of us. So we're fighting an uphill battle for the health of humanity here when it comes down to, I guess, the entertainment properties in regards to having data in on a chip that's in your head.
I mean, there's always going to be that portion to it, but to be fair, like, a lot of that's also going to come down to personal preferences and personality taste anyway. Even if I could have, in the current technological scenario that we live in, I could hypothetically never have to go to a movie theater or a concert venue to see a concert or watch a movie ever again for the rest of my life and still have access to the exact same scenario and experience to it. But going out and doing those things and physically doing them is the reason that I do it. So I do think that you're always going to have that be situational. And on the flip side of that, you know, you have people that have more introverted tendencies, and it might behoove them more to be able to have more interactions and develop their personalities and relationships in an online environment where they're more comfortable. So I think that attachment into consumption and media is something that we're already currently facing, but I think that just comes down to personal preference on management. Like, if I had a brain chip and there's still a movie theater down the street for me, I'm going to go watch Dune 2 in IMAX. I'm not going to watch it on my Neuralink in my brain. It's not the same.
Well, I agree with you on some of that. I think that there's also a portion of that that maybe you hadn't considered, because I'm with you there. Like, I want to go do stuff. One thing you have to think about, though, is you and I and Easy, we all come from a little bit of a different generation. I mean, you remember long distance. There are plenty of people that are alive today that are like, long distance. What the hell is long distance? You mean roaming? You know, it's a whole different kind of thing when you grow up with that. I mean, you look at like, you know, iPad kids, where the iPad is like a babysitting tool. They're growing up like entirely online, basically. And that's the other part that I think you maybe hadn't considered, or maybe you did. I don't know. I shouldn't put words in your mouth. But when you have that level of interactivity available online from a young age, I think it kind of like stifles your growth and ability to be social not online. And while, yes, it might be good for people that are naturally introverted to be able to express themselves, it also takes away all of the onus to go out and learn how to interact in, you know, a social environment and navigate the world, you know, in real life, especially if you just don't have to anymore. You know, if it stops being a thing that's even necessary, then why would you at all? And I think those interactions are definitely healthy. I think it's an important thing to be able to go out and, you know, interact with the real world.
Well, from my side, I have members of my family who are like in high school now, or high school age, and they've still grown up within the same type of socialization environment that I had grown up into. So I think that regardless of access to technology, it still is going to play a bigger role in regards to the nature versus nurture situation. If you are someone who's raised up in that type of mindset, that's the type of mindset that you would generally continue on and teach to people. Whether or not that is something that's adopted into their personality is always going to be a case by case basis. But I have relatives, cousins of mine who are 15, 16 years old and aren't always the perpetually online people. They're connected with hanging out when we go to visit them and spending time with family and doing activities and not having to be connected all the time. So I do agree that that is something that is considerably more prevalent into today's just existence factor than it was with us, obviously. But I do think that that will still always have that bearing for connection. I mean, some of the most successful movie like movie theater companies of the last decade are art house and independently owned chains instead of the mega chains for them, because they're people who are wanting to recreate that environment and give access to that for more people to enjoy it and experience and do that way than have to necessarily just consume the mainstream version of it that's given to you. So I think that while you also have that type of desire and enjoyment factor that's existent within society, you'll always have people that can still push for that to be part of the norm instead of the outlier as we become more and more online and connected and technology advances further and further from that.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, there's always going to be, you know, different groups of people. You know,
I just don't always want the podcast to be all gloom and doom. You know, sometimes we need a little bit of positivity. We need a little bit of a refresher that everything's not terribly awful just yet. There's still time. And, you know.
Well, yeah, like we're not all getting brain chipped to fight the evil AI anywhere yet.
Yeah, exactly. But I just wanted to put that out there as well, because I do think that, like, I feel like there's this notion that as technology becomes more abundant and available and integrated, that we're going to slowly more and more so devolve into Wall-E people. And while I don't think that that's entirely outside of the realm of possibility, I think that the amount of connectivity that we have now is going to be the same amount of connectivity that we would have going forward into the future. It's just the implementation of that technology is going to change. But like, where is, like you said earlier, we're as connected to each other as we have ever possibly been in the history of our species. You know, we no longer have to rely on bird for consistent message delivery over the course of weeks.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Like I'm not saying that that any of this this connectivity or access to information or, you know, evolving methods of, you know, producing entertainment is necessarily a bad thing. I mean, I love the internet. I grew up on the internet. I think it's fucking awesome. But I also see the problems that it has.
Yeah.
You know, there's definitely like a real problem. For sure. I mean, you look at like before the smartphone came out, nobody was checking their phones like, you know, habitually. Yeah. But it's very common now. You'll be at dinner with three other people and everybody's on their phones and shit. You didn't see that 20 years ago, you know? And yeah, that's kind of like where I'm going with this thing. If you can just imagine, you know, what that's like, and you can tell people are checked out because they're all looking at their phones. But imagine like you're not even gonna be able to see that they're checked out anymore because they're just doing it in their head.
Yeah.
You know, like it's just one step closer where we're removing that barrier of having to take your phone out of your pocket and scroll Twitter or whatever. Yeah. You know what I mean? So like, it just kind of exacerbates the situation that's already like not great, you know, but then again, you know, you also have all the awesome shit that comes with that too. So I'm right there, like with you in the same camp, but I mean, we have to talk about the problem because that's what we're talking about today, is how awful Neuralink is.
Right.
Or potentially can become.
Yeah, it could be.
Yeah. Become. Yeah. Cause as a whole, I do still veer more onto for a medical application tool and the way that it is currently being implemented for usage, I do think that it's an incredibly insane piece of technology and is actually super cool.
Oh, dude, that part of it is fucking amazing.
And as long as we can stay at that part of it and not have to bring consumeristic tendencies into this in any way, shape, or form, we're golden, man. We're killing it. We're having a good time.
That would be ideal. That would be ideal. I'm a little bit cynical on it. It staying in the bag there, but
I think that if we were ever going to get to that point, though, like, I don't know that we would ever achieve the possibility of widespread adaptation in the same way that we have with, like, a cell phone for technology, because you're talking about something that requires brain surgery. Like this isn't just I can go to the Sprint at the mall and just pick one up because I cracked with the screen on my last one. You're talking about I need actual literal brain surgery to have a piece of technology implanted into me that once in completely removes the full knowledge that I alone control my thoughts and actions. That's got real complicated adaptation issues attached to it, man. That's got that's a big hill. That is a big hill to climb.
Absolutely. In fact, that actually segues perfectly into my next point, which has to do with that, but also it has to do with cost. So yes, like there's going to be a lot of people very skeptical about, you know, getting a hole drilled in their head. I mean, unless you live in a place that mandates it, you know, some people are not going to have a choice. Looking at you, dictator governments out there. So, you know, you can imagine, like, everybody has to line up and get chipped. You know, if your name ends in, you know, S this month, you're getting chipped. That would be pretty bad. But at least a place like here, the tech isn't going to be something that's going to be like mandatory, at least not right away. I don't want to get like too in the weeds about, like, you know, political stuff, but I mean, it could potentially happen. I don't see it really happen at all like that, because it's pretty damn invasive, like you said. I mean, you're getting a hole drilled in your skull. But that's a hard sell for just about anybody. That said, I think like another big part of the downside is initially it's going to be super expensive. When this comes out to market, it's going to be very, very, very expensive. You think like only the people, or the only people that are actually going to be getting this piece of technology are going to be the ultra rich and powerful people. And I think that it could potentially have the implication of creating an even more uneven playing field than we have right now in terms of like a business and industry. So you can imagine you get some Silicon Valley big shot. We'll use Mark Zuckerberg for an example here, right? Who now go ahead.
I think you mean Zark Muckerberg.
Zark Muckerberg. That's right. We're not getting sued. Zark Muckerberg. So now he's got this chip, and who's to say that it doesn't come with some kind of like built-in IQ boost or, you know, processing speed, power, or something like that, so that now he's going to be able to have his brain moving faster and working better and, you know, coming up with better solutions faster than anybody who's natural is going to be able to do it. Or you have like some kind of Wall Street stockbroker or something who is going to be able to like make trades faster and more accurately than all of their other competition just because they have a piece of technology that most people can't afford. You're going to have a situation like that at the very beginning where only the people that can afford it right now and are willing to get a hole drilled in their head are going to be able to get it.
Okay, counterpoint to that, though. Okay. Those would also be the people that are going to be most likely to impose regulations and usage restrictions on that technology to ensure that the other people that do have the ability to access it off the bat don't get one over on them. So, to be honest, you might actually end up with the tightest restrictions and regulations about Neuralink usage as a consumerist product if only the top 1% have access to it as soon as it is available commercially. because they're the ones who are going to want to ensure that they don't get screwed over by this tech in the long run.
That's very possible. I would counterpoint your counterpoint with all these people are kind of in the same club, and it's also very possible that they all sit down and agree, hey, like, we gotta, you know, put some regulations on this so that nobody else can get it, or something along those lines.
I mean, that's fair, but that's more of a tinfoil tinged counterpoint, to be fair, my friend. That's
I don't know, man. I mean, like, there's pretty good historical precedent of collusion in markets. We literally have laws about that. If it wasn't happening, we wouldn't have regulation about that specifically. So
collusion in markets, for sure, I'll give you that. But I'm just saying, this is more from a, like, regulations on usage and adaptability of tech across the board. So it's not even necessarily a market situation. It's a usage restriction on the technology itself situation, which is what I think would be more likely to be established by the upper echelon of early adapters that you would end up with, especially in that, in, again, the market field that we're talking about, how much this thing would be costing right off the bat. Like, yeah, they're the people who are going to want to make sure that bad things don't happen and sway possibly terribly.
Yeah, I mean, maybe, but they're also the ones that benefit the most from having the tech early and then being able to push that whole thing out to other people for purposes that they want to use it for. I think, like, if anything, there will be some kind of, like, either collusion or an internal fight over how to regulate it. For the benefit of the people that have it right now, like the people that get it early on. Because if you think, like, a guy like Zark Muckerberg, he's going to want to use this, you know, specifically for his interests. Whereas a guy that, you know, is working on Wall Street is going to want to use it for his interests. So, you know, you got a Gordon Gekko kind of fellow or something like that. You know, he's going to have a whole different application, and they're all going to want regulation that's favorable to them.
Right.
Who knows where that winds up landing? I think it's a crapshoot as to what, you know, what actually winds up happening with that at the end of the day. But I think we can both agree that the people that have it first are going to have a massive advantage over the people that don't have it. And that the playing field, as uneven as it is now, is going to tilt even more to one side because of it. You're looking at a situation that that even once the tech actually becomes, like, you know, market ready and most people can get it, and, you know, if it does get to the point where it's as prolific as an iPhone, which once something like that happens and you almost need to have the chip in order to stay competitive in your industry, I can see a situation like that occurring where you just can't keep up with the competition that has it. Even then, those people who have it first, they're going to be, like, light years ahead of everybody else because they've had it for so much longer. And I'm sorry, but, like, having a Zark Muckerberg walking around with a faster and more effective brain than everyone else is fucking terrifying to me. I don't know that scares you at all.
I mean,
it's a little frightening.
It's for sure a frightening concept, but I also, like, if we've already reached that point of the technological advancement into society and their control being that much more exerted anyway, it probably doesn't matter for us. Like, at that point, we're just playing at the whims of what they want anyway. So
we just got no shot, guys. It doesn't matter.
That's the unfortunate downside of that reality. But
AI, take me.
Yeah, exactly. Deus was right. Deus did nothing wrong.
Oof.
You think that's bad too? We're talking about data in and everything. Imagine once this thing becomes a little bit more advanced, and instead of just suggestions, well, we talked about it a little bit with the ads, replacement of your own thoughts directly with information from some external source. So if you think, like, you know, you see a lot of, like, tribalism and, you know, stuff like that on social media, you think that's bad now? Just wait until, like, your subscription to, you know, whatever comes with like a mood modifier or something like that, you know, or just gives you the talking points right into your brain and just replaces, you know, your entire thought right there. I mean, that's a little bit like wild, a little far out, but I don't think it's outside of the realm of possibility. You know, instead of having like your own thought that you, you know, generate, or you get information, then you formulate an opinion. Oh, that opinion is just given to you now. It's just taken direct from some other source that came up with it. That sounds to me like really bad. I don't know. Like, I don't want somebody else doing the thinking for me. I like my brain. I like thinking for myself. And, you know, again, it sounds a little bit like, you know, hyperbolic, but I also have a little bit of a tinfoil hat, like I said at the beginning of the episode. So I'm a little skeptical that it doesn't get to that point eventually. I don't know. How do you guys feel about like that possibility? You think I'm just like, I'm on one right now? Am I going a little too far there?
I mean, with the application and the way it's starting right now, that's still a huge, huge leap to make it that far, you know?
Yeah, it's a very big leap. I agree. I don't know. Maybe I'm just scared, guys.
So it may just be fear mongering.
It might be
right now. But like you said, if they do cross that bridge, I mean, it brings it into the realm of possibility. But right now, a bunch of it is just hypotheticals, and all it's doing is helping people that can't do the things that they were used to being able to do. So giving them like a second chance, which is uplifting and happy. But yes, there of course is always a dark side to the technology and the application and how it's used.
Yeah, I agree. The upside is very good right now. I mean, hell, we know a guy that could really benefit from, you know, a piece of technology like this right now.
Yeah.
You know,
hopefully it progresses far enough along that, you know, that may become an option.
Yeah, let's hope so. And so far, it's all good stuff. So far, we're not seeing any of this bad stuff. We're only seeing good things. And the way that I think it's gonna go, not looking so hot, man. Not feeling it. So I got one other point that we haven't talked about yet. That I think is gonna be like a giant problem, and we've actually already seen this previously with other bionics. Well, we're going to call them bionics because that's literally what the news story says. Imagine that this thing gets out. It becomes, you know, a consumer product. It becomes prolific. And most people either have it because they want it or have to have it because they need it. So like your smartphone, for example. What happens when you're reliant on a piece of technology like this, and let's just say you forget to pay your subscription, or even worse, the company goes out of business or gets acquired by somebody else, and that piece of technology stops being supported. So all of a sudden, your brain chip that you've been relying on for 25 years doesn't get its update and goes offline, and you no longer have access to it. You still have it. It just doesn't work anymore. Can you imagine how bad that's going to be?
Again, that would be a horrible kind of nightmare scenario, but we've talked about it before, or at least touched on it a little bit. With this type of technology, the way it's being released and everything and put out for the person, eventually it sounds like they want it to be completely connected to the person, like not requiring any kind of motor update or anything. It's just able to read the brain waves like you want and give you the simulated motor function.
Well, that would be cool if that was actually the case, but it's not. In fact, we have a story about somebody who got some retinal implants. So Barbara Campbell was walking through a New York City subway station during rush hour when her world abruptly went dark. For 4 years, Campbell had been using a high-tech implant in her left eye that gave her a crude kind of bionic vision, partially compensating for the genetic disease that had rendered her completely blind in her 30s. I remember exactly where I was. I was switching from the 6 train to the F train. Campbell tells the, what is IEEE Spectrum? I guess that's the news source here. I was about to go down the stairs, and all of a sudden I heard a little beep, beep, beep sound. And it wasn't her phone battery running out. It was her Argus II retinal implant system powering down. The patches of light she'd been able to see with the implant's help vanished. So this lady actually had her cyber eyes go out. And like the reason was, is because the scenario that I just talked about where the company went out of business, or no, they didn't go out of business. They got acquired by somebody else and they stopped supporting the implant. That's what exactly what happened to her. It sounds like it's way out, but even with the medical, the medical applications, like we were talking about, and it being a positive, that could literally be a thing that happens to you. You get this thing because, you know, you have some kind of like cognitive impairment or, you know, injury situation, and it's helping you use your arms and your legs again. And then all of a sudden, like that, it just goes. And you just, you fall down or your arms stop working, you know, while you're driving or something. That's a legitimate possibility. And this lady was like at the subway. She was on like on the subway platform about to go down a set of stairs and her eyes stopped working. So this part isn't outside of the realm of possibility at all. This is a thing that has actually happened to somebody in real life. And that sounds pretty horrible to me. Guys got any thoughts on that? Or,
well, I mean, so that type of technology, that would obviously be a nightmare scenario, like in any circumstance. I think that part of that technology being implemented is just having to come up with some type of long-term scenario to ensure that that wouldn't happen. Like, I don't know if that would necessarily be like a renewable energy source power unit for whatever it is to ensure that you don't just have power failure for no reason, or like I would have to hope that that type of tech would also come with something that wouldn't require like a software update. Like, imagine getting a cybernetic eye and then you're getting push notifications from GeForce because you need to update your drivers or your eye's just going to go out. Like, that's also just that's not good. There would definitely need to be some type of more like cut and dry implementation for that type of technology to, I would imagine, just try to reduce the risks of things like that occurring, because that's not good for the company either. That's a terrible fucking PR disaster at that point.
Well, absolutely, but in this case, it didn't even matter, because this lady actually found out secondhand that the company abandoned the technology entirely because they were going bankrupt. So it doesn't matter for them if it's a PR nightmare because they're bankrupt anyway.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
You know, like, I mean, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
You know, I agree. Like, you'd think that there would be some kind of like safeguards in place, but this stuff is still pretty new.
You go to Cyberpunk Chinatown and you get yourself a new pair of eyes.
You guys got to find a Ripper Doc immediately. There's got to be one near the subway station, right?
Yeah, exactly.
They always got Ripper Docs near the subway station.
I mean, but I guess that's where Shadowrun kind of takes it in a whole nother direction, where you don't have to worry about things like that, because all of the tech that gets placed inside of you is working off of your entire body chemistry. So there's no external charging of your cyber armor or something like that.
This wasn't a battery issue. This was a support issue.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
In Shadowrun, you don't have those support. There's no firmware for your stuff to update.
Okay, I see. Yeah, like, well, that's not the case with real life.
I get that. We're not to that point yet. But if we ever get there, then maybe I would consider looking into cyber limbs. But not if I have to worry about a company going belly up.
Yeah, it seems like it would be really bad if, like, you know, you're doing something and you're like running the New York Marathon with your cyber legs and like they just stop working. seems like a really, really bad look, you know?
Yeah.
But
or for your eyes to just immediately stop working. Yeah.
Also, that, that's,
bad,
I think,
that also a bad look, huh?
Oh, I see what you did there. Boom. Yeah, I think it's like it gets even worse when you're like screwing around with your brain. And Austin, you bring something up, or you brought something up at the very, very beginning that I think was very important, is that we have no idea what the long-term effects of something like this are going to be. I think it's going to be like less problematic with the data out that they have right now than it will be with data in. Once mm-hmm. they solve that data in problem, who knows what kind of like neurological diseases and, you know, maladies we're going to wind up seeing from, you know, artificial data being injected into your brain.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we just have no idea where it could go. And that's like that's a pretty scary proposition. It honestly, it might be the thing that stops all of these bad things from happening that we just talked about. If there's a real like medical complication with, you know, putting some kind of like input into the brain artificially, that might be the thing that that kind of stops it. It might be the bridge too far that we just can't cross. So who knows? There might be hope, but you know, if we don't get it, then the AI is going to take over anyway, and it won't matter. So that's what I got for you guys tonight. What do you guys think about the data? I mean, Neuralink.
I mean, you are right. It is the predecessor to DataJax.
Pretty much. You guys got any other thoughts, comments, concerns?
It's awful, and no, thank you.
In its current state, yes.
No, in any state.
In its current state, it's pretty awesome. I think we solidly kind of all agree on that.
I, for one, do not accept our technological overlord and reject its unwanted advances upon my fleshy persons. No, I mean, like we were saying, if this is something that could be put into just like actual medical implementation, or find some way of having beneficial implementation, then that is the best case scenario to come out of this.
Agreed.
But in terms of this type of technology ever being converted into some type of mass consumed type of advancement, no. No, that's just no. That sounds awful. So, yeah. Yeah, I disagree.
Yeah. I too am going to pass on the brain chip. No, thank you. I appreciate the offer, but I think I'm going to sit this one out, guys. So you guys are listening out there. What do you think about Neuralink? Are you going to get a data jack when it becomes available? You're going to be one of the first consumer adopters, assuming you can afford it. And are you excited about it? Are you scared by it? You think it's a good idea, a terrible idea? Tell us in the comments. If you're watching on YouTube, you can tell us in the response on Spotify. Interact with us. Let us know your thoughts on Neuralink and the future of DataJack technology to combat our evil AI overlords that are currently going unchecked.
And with that, you guys, we will catch you on the next one.
The Topps Company, Inc. has sole ownership of the names, logo, artwork, marks, photographs, sound, audio, video, and or any proprietary materials used in connection with the game Shadowrun. The Topps Company, Inc. has granted permission to Critical Hits to use such names, logos, artwork, photographs, sound, audio, video, and or any proprietary materials for promotional and informational purposes on its website, but does not endorse and is not affiliated with Critical Hits in any official capacity whatsoever.